Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. You have made it to the end of the week. It is Friday, October 25th, 2019. I love to call it Friday because the weekend is near. You can feel it, right? You can feel it. And it's going to be a busy weekend in the world of Michigan State sports. Of course, you got Michigan State football in action tomorrow afternoon playing host to the Penn State Nittany Lions. You got MSU women's volleyball against Wisconsin tonight inside of Jennison Fieldhouse. You got MSU soccer in action. You've got MSU hockey in action. You've got MSU field hockey in action. A lot going on. Oh, yeah. Then there's a little something happening tonight at 8 o'clock inside of the Breslin Center. The doors will open at 8:30, actually, as Michigan State Madness will take place throughout the night. Always a fun event. This will be my fourth time emceeing this event. Always fun. And it's always an adrenaline rush, you know. Of course, I'm used to doing the broadcast thing now. I've been doing it for a few years. But it's always an adrenaline rush anytime I step out on that court with that mic and speak to 15,000 Michigan State fans. Great time. I look forward to it every single year. You'll have team introductions of both the Michigan State men's and the women's basketball squads. This is a celebration of MSU hoops. When it comes to Tom Izzo's team, of course, being ranked numero uno for the first time in program history when it comes to the preseason poll. A lot of hype surrounded around this team. And what? This is the big question, every MSU Madness. What will Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant do? How will they be introduced to the crowd? Because it's always fun just seeing what MSU Athletics comes up with. There is some kind of fun video that happens before, and then Tom Izzo will hit the floor, and then Susie Merchant comes out. And it's always a great time. Always a great time. So I got to keep it top secret because I know what he's going to do. I usually find out beforehand, you know, as the MC, and I found out yesterday what he's going to do. I can't tell you all. I'm not going to give you a hint. I'm not going to spill it out here on the airwaves, or else they'll probably ban me from being the MC ever again and will never, ever, ever, ever tell me before Midnight Madness ever again. So, yeah, I'm not going to do that. But you guys can guess. All right? A fun event. And we're going to dive a bit into it. I'm really excited about tonight, really excited about MSU Madness and the start of MSU basketball. And I feel like many Michigan State football fans out there have thrown in the towel on the football team and are just turning the page right now to basketball. You guys are already saying, all right, it's basketball season now. Let's keep this thing pushing because MSU football has been such a disappointment. And I'm wondering if Michigan State somehow, some way, does in fact defeat Penn State tomorrow, will that change anything about how this season has gone in your eyes? Will you feel a bit different about how MSU football has performed this season? That is the question I have for you guys. We'll preview MSU and Penn State in just a moment. We'll talk Michigan and Notre Dame. They will play tomorrow. I want to dive a bit into that game as well. And I kind of have the same question when it comes to Michigan as well. Because we saw Michigan in a pretty close game. That was closer than I expected. But we saw Michigan fall to Penn State last week. And now they take on Notre Dame tomorrow. You know, will Michigan fans have a different perception of the Wolverines and Jim Harbaugh if the Wolverines are able to beat the Fighting Irish? I don't think so. I mean, this is just a bad football team, and beating Notre Dame won't prove anything in my estimation. It's not like Notre Dame is some kind of world beater this year. So, and also, before we have Reflection Friday to close out the hour, I do want to touch upon what Detroit Lions defensive specialist Darius Slay had to say concerning loyalty in the National Football League. Slay has been not shy. He has not been shy at all when it comes to letting his displeasure be known to the public about how he felt about Quandre Diggs being traded to the Seattle Seahawks. He has doubled down, and when he was made available to the reporters, to the media this week for about a little over 7 minutes, he had some candid things to say about the business that is professional sports and the National Football League. We'll dive into that conversation as well, all right? So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports. Well, excuse me, /WKAR News. We know there's no Current Sports Facebook page anymore, so we merged it with WKAR News. Facebook.com/WKAR News. We had the live stream up and running there. Many of you looking at that live stream right now, you can comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. Folks, we start with the Michigan State Hall of Fame induction ceremony that took place yesterday on campus here at MSU. It's always a really, really great weekend that is kicked off when you have the Hall of Fame ceremony taking place with also the letter jacket presentation. And, you know, this is kicking off the Celebrate 2019 weekend with the 10th annual MSU Hall of Fame and Varsity Letter Jacket Ceremony. Five new members were formally inducted into the MSU Hall of Fame, while over 150 current Spartan student athletes received their varsity letter jackets from AD Athletics Director Bill Beekman, along with their respective coaches. Dan Bass of football, Karen Dennis of MSU Track and Field, Mike Donnelly of MSU Hockey, Tom Nokovich of MSU Wrestling, Mike Robinson, the great Mike Robinson of MSU Basketball, all received their commemorative plaques and varsity jackets upon their induction yesterday evening. All five former Spartan standouts will be recognized at halftime of Saturday's football game against Penn State. So, really cool stuff. I saw some sights and sounds of that induction ceremony online from MSU Athletics, but all so well deserving of this honor. All five of these players, you know, now former players, having such a profound impact on MSU Athletics during their time. All right, as I mentioned, MSU Madness tonight. The hype train for Michigan State basketball is boarding all passengers right now. All passengers who are late for the train, they want to hop on the bandwagon that we'll be stopping on later this season. Okay, if you're not on the bandwagon right now, I don't get it, because this team is the preseason number one squad in the nation. And the hype train makes its first stop tonight at the Breslin Center at 8:30 p.m. That's when the autograph session will take place, from 8:30 to 9:30. And then the program will start around 9:30 p.m. All right, so the event will feature an introduction to the 2019-2020 men's and women's basketball teams, as well as a banner raising for the men's basketball Final Four run that was last season. And Alec Rio is behind the glass. I just want to make sure I get this brother's name right now before I introduce him later on the hardwood. Do you know who Quinn is at 92? Is that
who he's at? Honestly could not tell you. If you were to say, name this person's name, and you were to perhaps hold a gun to my head, I would just say pull the trigger. I don't know.
Are you serious?
So I do not know this guy.
I mean, thought, like, I was just old. I'm just getting older now. I'm 29 now, and I just don't know who the new hotness is when it comes to these young rappers. He's actually a Michigan State University grad who's now a rapper, also a Detroit native, which is also why I'm surprised why I don't know the brother. But Quinn XC2? Which is 92, right?
Roman numerals are also not my strong suit, but I gotta say, no disrespect to him at all, but I've honestly never heard of the guy. But
okay,
you know, I mean, good for him for booking the deal at the Breslin, because that's a huge gig, especially for someone who graduated from Michigan State.
Yeah, he was born in 1992, so he's 2 years older than me. He's an MSU grad, and I was talking to MSU Athletics yesterday, and they said he actually reached out and said, "Hey, I would like to perform during Michigan State Madness." And MSU Athletics were like, "All right, yeah, great." He's got a big following. He's had some hits on the Billboard charts, and, you know, a lot of people know who he is. So props to the brother, but he'll be performing for about 20 to 25 minutes tonight. So Quinn 92, I believe I'm saying it right. I'll get it right before I grab that mic. But rapper Quinn 92 will be performing tonight as well. So that should be fun. All right, Michigan State football tomorrow afternoon inside of the Spartan Stadium, trying to rebound after what has been a really disappointing year. We all know it. James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions come to town. And on paper, this looks like it could have the same result for MSU as the other two matchups, but spoiling the Nittany Lions season isn't something entirely new to Mark D'Antonio. In 2017, remember that Matt Coughlin bomb of a kick from 34 yards to give the 24th-ranked Michigan State squad the dub over 7th-ranked Penn State? The next season, a pass purposefully underthrown by Brian Lewerke graced the hands of Felton Davis, who, by the way, Felton Davis will be your honorary captain tomorrow afternoon. So that's going to be pretty cool to see Felton out there, fitting, right, for how things ended last year, giving the Spartans that go-ahead lead with under a minute to go to give Michigan State the win over number 8-ranked Nittany Lions. Here are both of actually those sound bites cut up by Alec Rio.
4 seconds to play. It'll be a 34-yard field goal try. On the way back, it's down, it's up, it's long.
It's gone!
And it's gone! Spartans win!
They win, baby!
That's the end of the game.
Matt Coughlin, the hero, swarmed by his teammates.
On third down, Lewerke down the sideline. He's got it! Touchdown, Davis! And the Spartans take the lead! 19 seconds to go, and Michigan State is on top!
Yeah, how about that? Great, great moment in which Michigan State just stunned the college football world and stunned Penn State fans everywhere. Will it happen tomorrow, though? I don't know. It's going to be an ugly game. Remember a few years back when Michigan State and Penn State had that long, 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 long weather delay at Spartan Stadium? That was crazy, right? You know, I remember that. You know, fans had to be, you know, evacuated from the stadium. You had fans at IM West. You know, some fans went home, and by the time the game resumed, it was a night game. And I believe that was a noon kickoff. By the time it resumed, it was a night game, and fans were let in for free. Props to everybody who stayed to witness that game. But tomorrow is going to be ugly. I don't know if you watched or have looked at the forecast on your smartphone. But there is a 90 to 100% chance of rain after 3 p.m. tomorrow. So, yeah, kickoff is at 3:30 p.m. And the rain looks like it's not going to let up for most of the evening. All right, so 3:30 p.m., ABC. If you're going to the game, bring a poncho. All right, number 19th, ranked University of Michigan. Also in action tomorrow in a rivalry game that has stood the test of time as they will take on number 8 Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. The Wolverines are 5-2 overall, 3-2 in Big Ten play after a 28-21 loss to Penn State last week. The Fighting Irish are 5-1 on the season. Michigan leads the all-time series 24-18-1, but Notre Dame won the last two meetings. So we'll have more on the Wolverines and Fighting Irish just a moment. MSU hockey is fresh out of beating the U.S. National Team Development Program U18s 2-1 in an exhibition game as they travel now to Colorado Springs to take on Colorado College tonight at 9:30 p.m. and tomorrow at 8 p.m. Overall, right now, MSU hockey 1-1 on the season. Patrick Kortarenko is poised for a great senior year as Tyro Hirose is now on the Detroit Red Wings squad. So, again, Michigan State hockey taking on Colorado College tonight at 9:30 and tomorrow at 8 p.m. Also, MSU men's soccer hits the road for two out of its last three regular season games. The Spartans face Northwestern tonight at 8:30 p.m. MSU is 3-8-3, holds a 3-1-1 record in the Big Ten Conference. Northwestern is 6-7-1 overall, 2-3-1 in league action. And last time out, Michigan State men's soccer completed non-conference action with a 1-0 loss to Oakland on the road Tuesday, October 22nd, so just a few days ago. All right, Michigan State volleyball will host its second and third consecutive top 10 teams when it welcomes number 6 Wisconsin and number 7 Minnesota to Jennison Fieldhouse this weekend. Tonight's matchup against Wisconsin will have a web stream on BTN+. Sunday's match will air live on the Big Ten Network. Michigan State and Wisconsin stage the first of two meetings this season today with a return date in Madison scheduled for November 16th. The Badgers, the favorite in the Big Ten preseason polls, sit atop the conference standings as the only undefeated team in Big Ten play at 8-0, 12-4 overall, with non-conference losses to Baylor, Marquette, and Washington twice. All teams in the top 11 of the AVCA coaches poll, all right? Wisconsin earned a 3-0 win at Jennison Fieldhouse in the only meeting of the teams in the 2018 season. And Niagara head basketball coach Patrick Beilein, who is the son of former University of Michigan men's basketball head coach John Beilein, who's now in the NBA now coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers. Patrick Beilein has stepped down from his position. He made that announcement on Thursday. Assistant coach Greg Paulus will take over as the interim head coach. This is what Patrick Beilein had to say in a statement. It is with heavy regret that I must inform the entire Purple Eagle Nation that effective today, I have resigned my position as head men's basketball coach at Niagara University. It has been a lifelong dream of mine to become a D1 head basketball coach, but unfortunately, that dream must be put on hold. Personal reasons I can no longer take lightly have led me to step away from my dream job. Going forward, I must give singular focus to deal with these issues so that I can become the man that I strive to be. In time, it is my hope that I can be more open about my ongoing circumstances, but in the meantime, I thank you all for respecting my family's need for privacy and for all of your continued support, end quote. So Beilein again, the son of now Cleveland Cavaliers head coach John Beilein, formerly of the University of Michigan men's basketball program. Beilein was hired in March to replace Chris Casey. Patrick Beilein is 36 years old. He has been the head coach at Division II Lemoyne College since 2015, going to three NCAA tournaments. Prior to taking over the Dolphins, he spent one season as an assistant coach with the Utah Jazz and two seasons as the head coach at D2 West Virginia Wesleyan. Beilein also played for his father at West Virginia from 2002 to 2006. going to the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 in back-to-back years. So whatever it is, I'm hoping that Patrick Beilein gets whatever it is happening with his family straightened out, and we wish him well. Okay, Detroit Pistons fans. Yeah, like me. You lost yesterday. 117-100. The final against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks in the home opener at Little Caesars Arena. And the Hawks erupted in the first quarter. 38 points. They kept the pedal to the floor as they cruised past Motown's team. Trae Young had 38 by himself for the Hawks. Derrick Rose had 27. He's been great in the first two games. Andre Drummond had 21 points, 12 boards. The Pistons are 1-1 on the year right now. And the Philadelphia 76ers now come to LCA to play the Pistons. And I'm curious to see, whether or not Andre Drummond and Joel Embiid will continue their beef. All right, in the World Series, Game 3 tonight at 8:07 p.m. as the Houston Astros look to bounce back after an awful performance as they lost to the Washington Nationals 12-3 2 days back. They need some momentum, being down 2-0 in the series. It didn't help that JV Justin Verlander, former Tiger, gave up 4 runs in 6 innings, and Washington's offense seems to have completely forgotten about that one hitter. Bryce Harper, who left the Nationals to sign with the Philadelphia Phillies to sign that 13-year, $330 million contract. Right now, it's looking ugly in this series as Houston stares at a 2-0 series deficit. So, 8:07 p.m. tonight, we'll see what happens. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving. Happy Friday to you all. Thank goodness it's Friday. I tell you what, though, it's been a quick week. That's how it usually goes. That's how it's gone. I feel throughout all of 2019, I can't believe that this is the final weekend in the month of October. Next weekend, folks, is November. Insane in the membrane. And Alec Rio behind the glass. Alec, I'm kind of glad, man, that the weekend is here because I need to medicate, dude. I have been so clogged up and sound so nasally right now. I've been this way the entire week. October, it's my birthday month and all, but it is a bad month for my allergies. This happens every single year. So, and I still got to do Midnight Madness. Well, I keep calling it Midnight Madness. No longer is it called Midnight Madness. I have to do MSU Madness tonight, so I'm gonna just go and see if I can get some nasal spray so that I'm ready, because it's always a fun but long night for me. You know, I have to announce every single team, you know, player and name, coach, do the introductions and come out and introduce Izzo and Susie. It's a fun time, but it can wear on your voice. And this year, for the first time, thank goodness, I'm happy about this. For the first time, it didn't fall on homecoming weekend because I usually host the homecoming parade as well. So I would do the homecoming parade for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And then I would book over from the homecoming parade here at Michigan State to the Breslin Center the same night and then do MSU Madness. By the time that night is done, that Friday night is done, on Saturday, I am shocked that I have a voice whatsoever, and I usually don't. I have a voice, but it is very, very faint. So I'm kind of glad that I just have one duty tonight for MSU Madness.
Yeah, I feel you. Like, this time of year is honestly the worst time for allergies. I don't know how I haven't gotten affected by the bug. I'm somehow still out here thriving. I don't know how, but
thank goodness, man. Props to you, bro.
I know, somehow.
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
My immune system is, you know, it's got that fourth and goal defense. You know, it's not letting it in. But
I hear you.
It's honestly just crazy to me how we're just about a little, like 2 months and some change away from a new decade. That's absurd to me. I specifically remember where I was when we rung in the new decade, 2010, and now I'm looking back on it. Now it's literally a decade later, and I just can't believe it.
It blows by, man. That's life. When you get older, it just flies by. So, all right. Well, again, MSU Madness, I hope to see you guys there. It's going to be a fun event. Many people have been hitting me up like, what is he going to do? I can't tell you. I'm not going to tell you that. That would you wouldn't want me to. That's like spoiling the end of a great TV show. All right, I don't give spoiler alerts. That's against code. All right, if I said, hey, he's gonna do this, everybody, I would probably get hate mail here at WKAR. All right, I'm not gonna do that, even though you're asking. I know what you really want. You want to be surprised. All right, but just come. It's gonna be a great time, and I promise you that Susie and Tom's introductions are going to be entertaining. I'll just say that. I'm not giving you much there, I know, because it's entertaining every single year, but it's I like it. I'll just say that. But that's not saying much either, because I've liked just about every introduction that Izzo and Susie has done. That's all I'm giving you. All right, see you tonight. Doors open at 8:30. Let's talk some Michigan State football before we hit this first break, because Michigan State football does have... I know, I get it. This season has not gone great. This season has been incredibly frustrating when it comes to many different areas. We thought, much of us thought, that sitting here on October 25th, game day eve against Penn State, we thought that right now Michigan State would be in some kind of contention to go to Indy and compete for a Big Ten championship. You bring back what MSU had defensively from last year, which was a very good defensive unit. Brian Lewerke entering this season healthy, no shoulder problems. If anything, that was the big question mark, right? Can Brian Lewerke return to form from 2 years ago? Those are the kind of conversations that we were having. And if Brian looked healthy and was productive and just somewhat efficient, then this Michigan State football team, at this point especially, when you're down in the thick of things in that Big Ten schedule, we all thought Michigan State would at least be competitive when it comes to possibly going to Indy for a Big Ten championship. That isn't the case now. I'm sorry, folks, but, like, we would have to see some of the biggest collapses in college football history in order for Michigan State football to have a chance of going to Indy for a Big Ten championship title. It's not going to happen, I'm sorry. But you do have a pretty cool opportunity tomorrow afternoon to knock off a top 10 program. Penn State, the number 6 team in all of the land. Penn State, a team that was able to just squeak by the Michigan Wolverines last weekend. That was too close for comfort, if you are a Nittany Lions fan. And if anything, because I don't believe Michigan is a great football team, the fact that Michigan was able to kind of push Penn State to that kind of an ending, I mean, you look at that and say, okay, maybe Michigan State has some kind of a shot in this game. But I do want to address a few things if Michigan State is going to have that kind of golden opportunity. Now, yeah, you heard the nostalgic sound bites from Alec Rio. You know, those were the good times, right? Yeah, you feel good when you hear those sound bites, because at this point you need anything to pep up the fandom that is Michigan State football inside of your green and white soul. All right, recent history suggests at Michigan State, I guess, has a good chance to prevail. MSU has won 5 of its past 6 games against the Nittany Lions, dating back to 2010. But this is 2019, and Michigan State is a really wounded team that has suffered two consecutive beatdowns, coming off a much-needed bye week. Penn State has routinely found a way to win, and it has put together a perfect record. So now these two teams meet at Spartan Stadium. Can Michigan State score? You know what makes me a bit weary here? Michigan State already is not a great scoring offense. MSU ranks 96 nationally right now in scoring offense. The passing attack has been underwhelming throughout much of the year. Brian Lewerke, he has looked good at times, but also inaccurate. Throwing behind receivers and overthrowing receivers multiple times throughout the course of a game, which has contributed to this offense being ranked 96th nationally. And I think we can say, at least right now, that the whole musical chairs situation that Mark D'Antonio tried to experiment with coming into this year, it's been a failure so far. Can we say that? It has not worked. It has not translated to wins for Michigan State. 96th nationally in scoring offense is not going to get the job done. Lewerke has to be better, but he's also been, again, pressured multiple times throughout the game. That offensive line has given way. So that doesn't help the brother. I'm not defending Brian Lewerke because there have been multiple throws throughout this season where you're sitting there saying, wow, are you kidding me? You got to hit him there. You know, I remember the Cody White miscue against Ohio State. I mean, that could have changed things around, really. And he had multiple overthrows in, in inaccuracies against Ohio State that could have made that 34-10 final much, 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 much more closer in the end. And then the rushing attack, that is not producing right now either. MSU is averaging just 117 yards per game on the ground. That is good for 110th nationally. And also fourth worst in the Big Ten. So you got an offense that is almost ranked in the 100s nationally in scoring offense, and you've got a rush attack that is 110th nationally. You ain't going to win a lot of games like that. And yes, when it comes to that 110th national ranking on the run attack, that does include that 251-yard rushing day against Western Michigan. Remember that? Do you remember when that went down? 251 yards on the ground? That seems oh so long ago right now, doesn't it? I don't mean to sound like a Debbie Downer here. You guys know I'm always going to keep it 1,000. And this is just keeping it 1,000 right now. Penn State has a rush defense that is ranked, if you haven't looked it up, fourth in the nation. Fourth in the nation. The numbers don't bode well for Michigan State in this game. And on the flip side of this, I will say that when it comes to Penn State, again, what we saw against Michigan showed me that, okay, Michigan State has a shot in this game. Michigan State will be the third top 25 scoring defense that the Nittany Lions will face in a row and fourth overall. The offense did just enough to get past the Wolverines and even the Iowa Hawkeyes. So having the pressure on the offense to do that again is a tough task. Penn State, I think, is going to run the ball a lot against Michigan State. And then add into the fact that, again, this will be a rainy, nasty, ugly game. Both teams, both Michigan State and Penn State, are going to try and run. You may see some passes, but those passes will not be bombs down the field if the forecast is accurate. Those passes are going to be small, maybe drag routes. You know, passes in the flat, screens, that kind of thing. That's what you're going to see if the weather is in fact going to be nasty. And in a game like that, when you have weather like that, it's all about who can score early, I guess. Because, again, the rain is supposed to hit around like 3 p.m. and get progressively worse throughout the afternoon and into the evening. So if you can score early when the field is in its driest conditions that it will be as the game goes along, then the rain plays defense for you. It's all about who can score early. And if you're Michigan State, you can't afford, you know, Penn State to have that advantage, especially because your offense is already kind of inept. You don't know what you're going to get from it. You can't afford Penn State and that offense to get off to a fast start. It will mean death for you in this game. And especially coming off, I'm worried about this. You play a top 10 program coming off of a bye week, which was needed. You needed the rest and to recalibrate and get your mind right. But we see teams coming off a bye week with some rust, some early rust. Maybe it takes you a while to get going in that game because you've had 2 weeks off. So, with that being said, can Michigan State get off to a fast start coming off a bye week? I don't know. But I tell you what, you can't allow Penn State to do that. I'm just not confident that the Spartans can climb out of a hole if they are down early, especially in those weather conditions. What's the key for Michigan State's offense? For me, Elijah Collins has to play well, obviously, because I think he's going to get a lot of touches. I think he may hit the century mark when it comes to rushing yards tomorrow afternoon. Also, when you can, again, these don't have to be bombs. Hit him on a screen pass, hit him in a drag route, that kind of thing. Just short 5-yard dumps maybe. But get the ball to Daryl Stewart. Daryl Stewart is dangerous. Now, I know Daryl has had some drops this year. He's had some bad moments, but he's had some good ones as well. He actually leads the Big Ten in both catches and receiving yards. He's averaging 6.6 catches and 97.6 yards per game. Penn State secondary has looked suspect at times, especially with how banged up they are at the cornerback position. So if you can find Stewart and allow him to run wild a bit, Michigan State has a chance to pull the upset. And last but not least, kicking to KJ Hamler, I wouldn't do it. That kid is dangerous. He is dangerous. You know, he reminds you a bit of how Keyshawn Martin was when Keyshawn suited up for the green and white during his playing days as a kick returner. You always kind of held your breath like, uh-oh, he could take this back. He may score this thing. That's how you feel anytime KJ Hamler gets his paws on the football on a kick return. I wouldn't kick to him. And thank goodness it's going to be raining when it comes to this aspect of the game. Because maybe, you know, it'll trip him up, and maybe KJ is just like, you know, it's not even worth running back. I'm just going to let that one just roll on out and hit the turf. But KJ Hamler is dangerous on special teams. I would not kick to that young man. Kick it out of bounds when you can. Try and knock it into the end zone if you can. At the end of the day, I don't think Michigan State is going to win this game. Penn State is favored by 6.5 points. So almost a touchdown. I think Penn State is going to win this game because I don't trust Michigan State's offense, especially in these rainy conditions. Alec, before we hit the first break, your thoughts and prediction on this game?
Well, you know, for at least MSU offensive coordinator Brad Salem, this is a shot to show what you can do. He's coming off a 38-0 loss in which they looked hopeless as ever, and they gave up 31 points to Indiana, 34 to Ohio State, and then 38 to Wisconsin. You know, so, you know, their offense was looking abysmal and all of that, and their defense was getting pounded on in all three of those games as well. And so, you know, now they're facing a Penn State defense that's allowing only 10 points per game. And that's third in the Big Ten behind only Wisconsin and Ohio State. And we saw how those two games went. And MSU is very unlikely to be able to run the football because of, you know, weather permitting. And the Nittany Lions are only surrendering 66.3 yards per game on the ground. And like I said, MSU's defense has been getting beaten up. And to be honest, I don't think this defense is going to be able to stop Penn State with, you know, they have 26 red zone trips, and Sean Clifford, you know, he's the Big Ten's leader in total offense, and he's got 269 rushing yards and 1,742 passing yards, 16 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. So, I mean,
and this is the thing, though. I'm looking at all these numbers, and I'm saying to myself, these kind of go out the window, Alec, tomorrow. If it's going to be a knockdown, drag him out, rainy, muddy game, the passing numbers go out the window automatically because nobody's going to be throwing the football on that stuff. It is going to be a question of who has the more efficient run game. Simple as that. Can you run the football against me? That is the big question. If we all know how weathermen are sometimes and how crazy the forecast can be, right? Don't trust the weatherman. That's what my mom used to always say. If it's expected to be as bad as we see it to be perceived on the local news, this will be a game of who can run the football. And that this gives Michigan State a shot. This gives me, if this was a regular game where it's like, all right, well, just, you know, sunny and 50 degrees, and, you know, and when we're pinning offense against, you know, defense in regular conditions, I'm going with Penn State all the way here. I really don't trust Michigan State's offense. But the fact that you can limit Penn State's offense because of the rain, we may have a different situation here. So do you think MSU pulls this upset off?
You know, given their history of spoiling Penn State seasons, you know, it's definitely not out the door. It's not from left field.
Does that mean you're saying yes?
I do believe that they have a shot. I do believe they have a shot, you know?
No, give me an answer, yes or no. Alex,
yes.
Will Michigan State win tomorrow? Yes.
Okay,
you were sounding
like
a president just now.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, going off of the game against U of M where they narrowly won 14-10 in what was called the monsoon game, you know, I don't know if MSU would have won that game if it weren't for the weather. I'm not too sure about that because, you know, that came down to the wire, you know, and, you know, with weather permitting, MSU seems to have a chip on their shoulder.
All right. You're going with Michigan State in this game. You know, another thing I'm worried about I haven't brought up yet? Matt Coughlin. Matt? It's going to be rainy. The conditions aren't going to be great. But still, I'm not letting him off the hook. Anything 20, 30 yards, he still's got to make those. But if I'm Matt, I may be a little bit nervous right now. I have not played great this year. I've been missing kicks in regular conditions, and now you add rain in East Lansing? Because it may come down. It may come down to a field goal. It may come down to the wire where you need Matt to go out there and kick a game-winning field goal. I just don't know. I'm not confident in MSU. Let's go to line one right now before we hit this first break. Jason is on line one. Jason, long time no here. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, my brother. How's it going up there?
Oh, I'm doing well. What's up with you, man?
Well, not much. I'm down here in Battle Creek now and everything, so it's been hard to get in touch with you and stuff. But I want to talk a little bit, you know, with Josh going down the other day, down again, and, you know, I was just going through looking, playing with what Tom could have as his starting five. I got a couple different scenarios here. Of course, starting off with the preseason All-American Cassius, have to have him in there. But I was thinking moving Aaron Henry up to the shooting guard and then putting Gabe in as the small. And then you either have Tillman in there, either at the center or the power, and then you either stick Kithier or Marble in there. And with, you know, the size and whatnot, I'm just looking, breaking down the schedule and stuff. I'm thinking we could go 27-4, 26-5 on the year, even with the big games against Duke and Kentucky. Then, of course, you know, the Big Ten season with – you know, Maryland being there, Wisconsin being there, Purdue, You know, I think Michigan's going to be a surprise this year, just with their new coach in the big man in Juwan. But, you know, I still think State's going to have a good year and easily should be able to take a number one seed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, now, like the point I've been making throughout the week is that, Jason, without a doubt, losing Joshua Langford is a loss. It is a blow. But I think this team is so talented that they can overcome that loss, especially since Izzo is getting this news before they've even played one game. He is going to find a way to have another guy, a player or players, step up to contribute and try and, you know, fill that hole that's in the boat right now. But I'm with you. I really think that Aaron Henry is going to be the guy, because we saw Aaron really have some strides, take some strides last year for MSU basketball, and I just think he's just going to continue to get better. He's the guy I'm looking at to fill that void, really, in the absence of Josh Langford.
Right, exactly. You know, and hearing some of this stuff, you know, from a few of the alumni that I still talk to, you know, they've seen a big turnaround on Kithier this year. Kithier gained a few pounds, so he's got a little bit bigger body. Not only did he, but also the skinny man we had last year in Bingham, he gained some weight this year too. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we're gonna easily be able to compete down low. And by far, hands down, we do definitely have the best point guard in the country. No doubt about it.
Definitely.
But it's just, you know, I think we have one of the deepest supporting casts that we've had probably since the national championship year in 2000.
Ooh.
With, you know, we had Ishbia, you know, the no-name guy, and then a couple of the other guys, A.J. Granger and whatnot, just the support guys that were there to be able to back up everything that Mateen and Mo and the rest of the Flintstones did.
Wow, that's a big statement. You think, Jason, this is the deepest team that Izzo has had since the Natty year in 2000?
Yes, I definitely do, because we have numerous 3- and 4-stars that have come to play at MSU, and that's what keeps our program going the way it is with Coach Izzo's coaching talent.
You got to have depth, right, if you want to make a deep run and get Izzo that second ring. Jason, great call. Appreciate it, man. Great hearing from you.
Have a great one.
You got it. Have a great weekend, brother. All right. Let's hit a break. When we come back, we'll touch on some comments that Darius Slay had to get off his chest concerning his good pal Quandre Diggs being traded from the Detroit Lions to the Seattle Seahawks. I also want to touch on Michigan and Notre Dame, that and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That was a long segment A, so we have exactly 10 minutes left here in the hour. And time flies when you're having fun. And we have been having fun all week here on Current Sports, talking about some really... let's be real, though. It's been a very down week for Michigan sports. I've been highlighting this the past 2 days. You know, I know Detroit Tigers fans are feeling some type of way about seeing former Tigers and Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer and Annabelle Sanchez in the World Series. And then you look at, you know, the Detroit Lions putting Kerryon Johnson on the injured reserve list and then trading Quandre Diggs to the Seattle Seahawks. Then the Detroit Red Wings are on this losing streak. Then you get the news about Josh Langford being out until at least January with the recurring foot injury. And then Michigan basketball gets the news about Franz Wagner breaking his wrist. I mean, my goodness, it has been a tough week. Tough, 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 tough week. So hopefully this weekend brings about some smiles. The Detroit Lions, I think they'll beat the New York Giants. The Giants are bad. not that great. I think the Lions win. I think that, you know, the Michigan Wolverines have a really good shot at knocking off Notre Dame. Michigan is actually favored in that game by 1 point. So Michigan fans have a good chance of waking up on Sunday morning with smiles on their faces. Michigan State and Penn State. Well, you heard my thoughts on that, so I don't know about that one. But then you have MSU Madness taking place tonight, so Spartan fans will at least be happy tonight. All right? But I want to double back real quick and talk about Darius Slay, who is, without a doubt, I think Darius is the most talented Detroit Lions defender on the roster. And he has not been happy this week because one of his best friends got traded. And when this happens in professional sports, as a pro athlete, you're going to feel some type of way. And it really is a reality. It hits you in the face when something surprising like this happens, when it comes to a player, a teammate of yours who is a really good friend of yours, and all of a sudden, he's here one day, and then the next, he's packing up his things and he's headed to Seattle. You're going to feel some type of way about that. And it was a smack in the face to Darius Slay, and he's upset about it, and I cannot blame him. I can't blame him. Because this move, I think the majority of Lions fans out there are not happy about this move. Again, it was totally unexpected. I don't know if it's going to work out, but you know, Quandre Diggs was a solid defensive player for this team. So, Darius Slay, and by the way, this dude's a leader too. You know, he's a captain, he's a leader. He's an important voice in that locker room. So Darius Slay has a right to be upset about this. But at the end of the day as well, you got to understand it's a business. And business isn't always fair. And Darius Slay now, I think we're going to start to see a different kind of Darius Slay just from the standpoint of him recognizing that the NFL don't care about the athlete. You know, these organizations don't care. They may say they care about you. They don't care about you. They just care about winning games and what moves can they pull off that they feel are the right moves will help them win the most games. So Darius, he has come out and he was very honest this week saying, quote, "I'm here to play ball. It don't matter if I'm here or not. That's what I want to do. I just want to play ball." And he was asked, "But do you want to play ball for the Lions?" Quote, "It don't matter to me. It don't matter where I'm at. I just want to play ball. It don't matter. That's it." As a Detroit Lions fan, of course, you're probably not too fond of that comment. But you got to feel where he's coming from. I'm asking Detroit Lions fans to give Slay a pass on these comments just because he's emotional. We've all been through a bad breakup, right? Most of us has. Where you're dating somebody a long time, it was a great relationship, and all of a sudden something happens and you guys are broken up. That person is no longer in your life. And sometimes you say things in the moment that you don't really, really mean. Slay made this comment saying, "It don't matter. I don't care if I'm in Detroit." Basically, that's what he said. I, "It don't matter where I'm at." That means that it don't matter if I'm in Detroit or not. I'm going to go out there and do my job, which I get. I understand. But him coming out and tweeting last night at almost 7 p.m., quote, for fans that got the wrong impression, "I love the state of Michigan. I give y'all my all on and off the field for you guys. Big play Slay, just don't like the business side of it." Again, he was emotional. Give him a pass for that. I think Slay deserves to vent a little bit after having one of his best friends traded at the drop of a hat without any forewarning. You're going to be emotional about that. So, and Slay, looking at what he's been through here, I mean, again, he's one of the best defensive players that the Lions have had in some years. He made his first Pro Bowl in 2017. He led the league in interceptions that year. He then made it to two straight Pro Bowls. He has been credited with more passes defended than any other player in the league since he turned pro. He is considered one of the best shutdown corners in the game. But the business side has been hard on Slay. That includes watching Golden Tate. Remember that last year? He got traded at the 2018 deadline. That sent shockwaves throughout the locker room because nobody saw that one coming either. Slay held out. Remember this? He held out during the offseason in pursuit of a new contract. Then had to return to the club empty-handed. Didn't get that contract while watching others like Damon Snacks Harrison and Joel Dahl get new deals. I would feel some type of way about that. And now he has to watch one of his best friends right in the middle of a three-game losing streak. One of your best friends is now traded to the Seattle Seahawks. Give him a pass. A lot of people are out there bashing Darius Slay. He's human. Give this brother a pass, especially because he is one of your best players on this team, and he is giving a lot to this franchise. He is going out there. When he's been healthy, he has gone out there and brought it. So just take a chill pill, Detroit Lions fans. I know those comments, when you read them, you probably felt some type of way, and I get it. But put it into context. Everything has context. All right. 90 seconds left here in the hour. Alec, I am going with the Michigan Wolverines to beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think they get a win here. I don't know. I got no numbers to back this up. I got no stats to throw at you. I am purely going off of my gut and my instinct in this game. Michigan is somehow, some way, going to win that game tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. I believe that game will be on NBC.
It is.
Left. What do you think?
It is on ABC. And
oh,
ABC
or NBC? I think
NBC. ABC. It's ABC.
Oh, it's ABC.
Yep.
Okay.
And I have to respectfully disagree. I think Notre Dame's going to come out on top with this one. And to be frank, I don't understand why U of M is ranked number 19 at this point of the season. I think it's blasphemous. I think it's kind of an indictment on the AP for, you know, their ability to rank teams, because I don't think U of M deserves to even be in the top 25. I think they're in a near boat. They're in a similar tier than Michigan State.
I agree. I think
I don't believe that they should be 19th at all.
I'm with you on that. All right. Well, folks, have a great weekend. Hope to see you at MSU Madness. If you see me, give me a shout. If I don't, I'll see you Monday. All right. Take care and be easy, people.